If you have your Bibles with you tonight and want to follow along, I'm going to take my reading out of the book of James now, out of the first chapter. First chapter of the book of James, and we're going to start reading in the 18th verse. Starting in the 18th verse here, the first chapter of the book of James, it says, "Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I'm going to stop my reading here with this. And if I had a title to my message at all, it would be simply put that our works do matter. Our works do matter. The things that we do in this life, and I want us to look at a few things here in this reading and try and I'll try to get out with the best of my ability, with the Lord's help, what the Lord wants me to say tonight. But I look in this 18th verse here, and it says in the latter part of this verse that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. When you think about the word first fruits, we go back to the Old Testament, and we know that the first fruits were a sacrificial offering to God, that when the harvest came in, that the crops came in, or whatever it was that the people of Israel were harvesting at the time, the first of the crop that came off, whether it was corn, wheat, barley, or figs, or fruit, or whatever, the first thing that was picked or cut, it was made first and foremost an offering to God. They offered these things up to God because God had blessed them, and God had blessed them with the harvest that they had. And so you think about the first fruits here, and I think about, and this is the way that I'm thinking in my mind tonight, and how it is. I think about, when I think about the word first fruits, I think of examples. And as I said, I look around in here and I see so many friendly faces. People that when I was young in my ministry, I was young in my Christianity. Although I got saved at a young age, I was a youth in my mind as far as the Word of God goes, knowing and understanding what the Word said, and I was able to sit under Brother Doug and learn from him. I've sat under Brother Tim and I've listened to him and I've sat through his preaching. And just the examples that were given to me by the godly men and the godly women of this church. Your sacrifices to God was your example to me. How you sacrificed in your time for study of the Word, and you sacrificed with your life, and how you lived your life, and did the things that was visible to me. I'm speaking of a visible presence of godliness that was in your lives that had an impression on me. Okay? And tonight, if I can, I want to try to, with the best of my ability, impress on you to be
that example for somebody else. To be, as you go through your life, that your focus is that you're an example to the world for what God has done for you, how He has blessed your life. I think about these things, and I'm thinking about when you talk about works, we talk about doing a lot of good things, and we talk about, you know, everybody has this own picture in their mind of what a work is, you know, a good deed or giving somebody something or helping somebody or doing something. Everybody has their own thing in their mind, but we're speaking of things here that as God looks down, that we are candidates, I guess, of that we may be able to be teachers, okay? Teachers of those that are younger, teachers of those that are older. I thought I had a little bit of a handle when I come up in this church. You know, I was a young man. I don't remember now, I was probably 27, 28, you know, old enough to know better. And I thought I had a pretty good handle on things, but I didn't have a clue. I didn't. I'd never been made to apply myself to the Word of God. I'd been took to church. I'd sat under sound preaching. I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, how He died for my sins. I heard those things and understood them and know that. I knew what repentance and faith was. I knew what conviction of the Holy Spirit was. I knew what it was to feel like the drawing power of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit led me to do something. I knew those things. I had those basic things. But as I engaged myself and grew, I found out that God was so much bigger than I ever knew Him to be. He was really, really, really something awesome and special. Someone that I wanted to serve. Someone that I wanted to work for. Someone that I wanted to be like in my life. It was all because of, you know, I was raised and I had a good raising. I was taught that on Sunday, that was the day, that was when you go to church. I was taught that, you know, we didn't work on Sunday. We didn't do it. When it come time for revival, there wasn't no work done. We focused on the work at hand. When there was a revival going on, we didn't work. Now, granted, we was farmers. We didn't have to take vacation or something like that. But I've worked at UPS for many years, and still to this day, when it comes time for revival, comes for a time of work and service for the Lord where I'm supposed to dedicate myself before God, I'll try to be that example. I take my vacation so I can serve God with my whole heart. I want to be the example. And I want you, whether you know it or not, I want you to be the example too tonight. You have, I've already said that you have been in time past, many of you. But there are a lot of youth here. There are a lot of younger ones that are coming up. And you older ones, man, I'm telling you, they're watching. They are watching you. And they're seeing your actions and they're seeing your things that you do and how you live your lives. Parents, it's so important. You know, I read the Word of God and I think about some of the things that said in the Word of God. In the 6th chapter of Proverbs, it says in the 20th verse, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee." It's going to lead you. If you're sitting here tonight and you're a child and you're being raised in a godly home, you need to be thankful. Most of the world don't have that. It said it will lead thee
When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and the reproofs and instruction are the way of life. The Word of God is true, and it's powerful. What does it say? And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's cut me up one side and down the other many, many, many times. But I'm thankful tonight that for those reproofs and those things that would help me grow in the Lord. Because you turn on over in the book of Proverbs, and it says in the 22nd chapter in the 6th verse, it says, train up a child in the way that it should go, and when it is old, he will not depart from it. See, as a parent, we have a promise from God that if we will do what we're supposed to do, that it's not going to be in vain. And that's a promise from God. That's from out of His Word. It's not going to be in vain. It will have its effects. And I know my parents looked at me many times and wondered if it was ever going to kick in and happen. But, you know, it will. It will. It will. Over in the book of Isaiah, read from this today, this morning. I'm going to read a couple of verses of it here tonight. In the 30th chapter of the book of Isaiah, in the 20th and 21st verse, it says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed from the corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. I think of this and I look at this. We all go through adversities and we all go through things in life. But the point of it is that those teachers are present around us. They're not hid from us. You and I today, when we go out of these doors out here, if we go to the store, if we go to work, if we go home, wherever we be, we're a teacher. We're a teacher. We're teaching the world what it's like to be a Christian that's saved by God's grace. How to walk in the path of God. How to not go to the right or go to the left, but to listen to the voice and go straight down the line. You know, is it easy? No, it ain't. Is it impossible? No, it's not. It's not impossible. Not with the Lord's help and not with the Lord with you. You'll walk just where He wants you to walk because you're listening to Him. It says, thine eyes shall hear the word behind thee. How many times has your conscience ever come up to you and spoke to you after you said something and after you did something? That when you did it, you know it was wrong to begin with. That word was behind you. How many times has something that your mother or father told you how to act or how to be ever rung in your ears after you did something? Saying to yourself, I know better than this. I knew better than that. Those teachers are there. You good, godly mothers and fathers. It's so, so, so important that you are that way. And I know many of you. And I see you, and I see many of you in your workplaces and how you conduct yourself and how you act. And it's a blessing to know. It's a blessing to be around. I've been on vacation with some of you, and I go out, me and Brother Tim, we go play golf, and we pick at each other, and we aggravate each other, and poke fun at each other, but the fellowship, man, it's better than any golf game. Brother Dale, same way. It's just one of those things that when you think about it, you just can't get around how God blesses us, and He puts us in the places where we can see Him working in people's lives, and how
how effectual it is, how much a difference it makes. Man, how much strength it gives you to stand and on the truth of God's Word when you know you've got somebody that's standing right beside you that's willing to do the same. Or did it just before you. It's a powerful thing. Our works do matter, and they matter to those that we're around. We look on over in this book of James in the second chapter, and we read over here about how these things about works that he mentions. It says, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. And ye shall have judgment without mercy, that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, or one say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." I read this, and you know, you think about and I want to think about myself when I'm reading the Word of God. I try to plug myself in. I want to see where I fit. I want to see where I fit on God's page. Okay, it's not my place to judge you. But it is your place to understand where you fit in on God's page. Where would your work stack up in God's eyes? And that's how we have to look at it. It's not about what me and pointing a finger and saying do this and do this. It's about staying on that path and doing what God wants you to do and just doing the things that's pleasing to God. Is the work that you're doing pleasing to God? In your home? Are you the godly father or mother that you need to be? Being the example for the children that are around you? In your workplace, are you the Christian that is in the workplace that is the godly example for those that are around you? That when they look at you, that there's something a little different about you, that you stand out. Schools, all these things. And I can say that because I've been all of them. I've been all of them. And I get on my knees. And I weigh these things out in my mind, you know. Have I been that person that I need to be? Have I done the works to point people to Christ? Has my light shined that they might see Jesus in me? Many times my answer has not come back what I wanted, but you know, the thing of it is, once you have an answer, you have something to work toward. This perfect law of liberty over here in this 25th chapter, or 25th verse of this first chapter, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, him, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Isn't that what we want to be in our lives? Is that not what we all strive for? Do we not, when we walk out of these doors here tonight, do we not want to have a blessed life? Do we not want to have a safe return home? Do we not want to have a good day at work, a good day in life? Well, the only way that is if we have God in it. You know, I ain't ever done anything that was contrary to the Word of God or contrary to the direction of the Word of God where I ever got any joy or pleasure out of it. Ever. And I can promise you that you won't either. This world that we live in now is so deceiving. Satan is working overtime to deceive the minds of the world, to make them think that bad is good and good is bad. But if you're walking with the Lord,
most of the time those things is going to stand out like a sore thumb. There's going to be a red flag on it, and you're going to be able to see it a mile away. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetting what manner of man he is. When we look into this mirror, I believe it's having reference to here. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You go up and you look in a mirror, and what do? You see your reflection, don't you?
You see what's reflected to you. If your hair's messed up and you got mud all over your face, well, that's what you're going to see. And if you walk away and you don't do anything about it, well, you'll forget about it. That's how our life is. That's how sin is in our life. And if we go out in the morning, if we get up in the morning and we're not the father and the mother that we need to be in front of our children, if with our words or our conversation, and conversation meaning the way our life is, and that's what the Bible basically is placing it as, but and then you go out to work and your hair's still all messed up, you got mud on your face. What's everybody else see? They see you, don't they? They say everything bad that's revealed on you. Your hair's messed up and you got mud on your face. And the world sees that. Now, you might have saw it that morning when you looked in the mirror, but if you choose to not do anything about it, how do you think the world is going to look at you? They're going to look at you. You say, I'm a Christian. I've been saved by God's grace. I've repented of my sins and trusted in Jesus to the saving of my soul. But, boy, my actions and my looks sure don't reflect it. Everything that we do has to do with our perception. How people look at us. What kind of character of a person are you? What kind of character do you have? And I mean, it goes all the way. You think about it, your dress, how you speak. Everything people see and people judge and people look at. So each and every day we should be what? Trying to be on our highest level. Not that we're trying to impress anybody, but we sure do want the Lord to be pleased. That's what it's all about. It's about pleasing God. See, because when you please God in your daily walk, He's going to be walking with you. He's going to help you each step of the way. He's going to take those troubles and those heartaches. that bread of adversity that comes along in your life. That water of affliction that you have to drink from time to time. If you're with the Lord, He's going to be right there with you. He's going to give you the grace to get through whatever it might be. He's going to be there for you. And what should give us more faith is to see how those that are around us that we have confidence in act. Our godly examples. How do they handle situations? How do they go through things? When we see those godly examples, and I've seen some godly examples in my lifetime, people, how they handled situations, troubles and trials, how they handled temptations in life. They was the example that they took it to the Lord. Get out on their hands and their knees, and they would call out to God and ask for help. And they was close enough to God that He was right there with them. And He lifted them up and He helped them out of those pits that they were in. Whatever it was, ain't nothing too big for my God to do that He can't help us with, that He can't direct us in. Nothing.
And for us tonight, that I guess my main thing is, I want you to be and to continue to be the examples of a godly people, the same ones that had such an adverse effect on me when I was young, and how that it's carried me through my days as I go through my middle age. And how I know that it's going to push me right on through to the gates of glory one of these days. Ain't that a sweet, blessed thing? Y'all might have not known Joe was that good to me, but y'all was. And see, it's those kind of things that you don't forget. It's those kind of things that has an effect on you. And it's those kind of things that I'm asking you tonight, that you would go out into this world and that you would reach out to those that are lost, and that you might have that effect on this lost and dying world, that they might meet Jesus and be saved. Our works and our example are powerful. They're what we have. I know that the Bible tells us that we go out with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and all those things. And we do. We do. But I'm telling you what, those examples that are set before us are something that they're our scotch. They're our rock. They're what we fall back on when times get hard. We can remember things and we can see things and we know how we've seen it happen before. You know? We know how the Lord has done things in time past. We know how the Lord is healed, and we know how the Lord is saved, and we know how He's lifted up, how He's glorified, and we know how His Holy Spirit fills when He comes and fills the room. When He fills us up and He lifts us up. And there ain't nothing better than the world than to have the Lord just filling you up and lifting you up. It don't get any better than that. Well, that's when you're walking with the Lord. If you're feeling the Lord here tonight and you're feeling His presence tonight, that's a great thing. That's a great thing, because life don't get any better. There ain't nothing in this world. There ain't nothing this world has to offer better than the Lord's presence in our lives. There ain't nothing. I think I've basically about said everything I wanted to say, and I know it wasn't a whole lot, but hope I didn't make some of you's head swelled up. But you know, I do. I think I'm thankful for those godly examples in my life. Those first fruits, those first fruits of sacrifice unto God that I was able to see and to watch, and those things that I grew up with that are instilled in me. That's a part of me. And hopefully that's a part of you that pushes you to strive to be the person that you need to be. I'll close with this verse in Colossians. In the third chapter it says, "Above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's my thoughts and that's my message tonight. Everything we do, let's do it to the honor and glory of God, so that when we look at ourselves in the mirror, that our hair is not messed up and we don't have mud on our face. That it's a sight that's pleasing to God. And it's a sight that has an effect on those that see us. Those that will look at us. And that they'll be able to see a difference in us. I just thought of another verse. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're supposed to look a little bit different. We're supposed to have our face washed. And we're supposed to have our hair combed. Our conversation and our words are supposed to be of God, of truth, of righteousness, of things that are right. Not of the world. We're supposed to be that way. That you show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the marvelous, out of the darkness into His marvelous light. I'm finished. I'll hush.